Father, that is our prayer. Indeed, we have come into this place to worship you. You, O God, are altogether wonderful. You're altogether lovely. And we gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, declaring that you are the one true and living God. As we've sung this morning, it is you who stirs our hearts. Indeed, as we have come together this morning, we do so knowing that it is you who works in us to will and to act according to your good pleasure. We pray now as we look at your word that you would use it. Use your word, which is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Use it in our lives so that we might be better followers of Christ. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to see you this morning. Thank you, David and Brett and Bethany and Caleb and musicians for leading us today. This is a good day in the life of Union University. We may, as we've already heard, we may have a God speaking to us through the thunder during this chapel. We'll be reminded again of God's power and his goodness to us. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And then he says this, "Stand firm, therefore, and do not let yourself be submitted again to a yoke of slavery." Let me ask you this morning, are you a free person? Would you say, if you consider yourself a free person, would you say that your freedom is characterized by joy? When people experience you, do they experience the joy of freedom? Now, I'm not talking about the kind of freedom that we often experience in a university setting as university students, and I'm not talking about the kind of freedom that we often experience living in a place like the United States of America. I want us to think this morning about Christian freedom. The joy of Christian freedom. We as God's people are those who are free. And the theme of freedom is a theme that runs all throughout the storyline of Scripture. From the very beginning, we find God speaking to a man in Mesopotamia. He speaks to him in a burning bush, calling him to be the leader of a movement in which God is going to free his people. He's going to free the Israelites. They've been in slavery in Egypt for 430 years, and God is going to free them through Moses' leadership. Freedom. The psalmist says, "Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free." Freedom. In Luke chapter 13, we read about Jesus teaching in the synagogue on a Sabbath. And there was a lady there, the Bible says, who was bent over, Luke tells us. And Jesus called to this woman, and he called her up to him, and he said, "Woman, you are now freed from your disability." Freedom. Jesus said in John chapter 8, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you," what? Say it out loud. Free. He would go on and he would say this, "If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." We can talk about all kinds of freedom, but what we read about in the Scriptures is the freedom that God gives to us as his people. Talking about the believer having died to sin and being made alive with Christ, Paul would say in Romans chapter 6, "For one who has died has been set free from sin." And then there's that wonderful verse of Scripture, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." talking about the freedom that would ultimately come, the eventual freedom. Paul speaks of the future glory, and he says that in the end, creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Creation is now groaning, but will move to an ultimate day of freedom. Paul would tell the Corinthians that the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is freedom. And Peter would say, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not enter again into a yoke of slavery. It was just last week that we welcomed the Thornberrys back to campus. We welcomed them back to campus so that we could say farewell to them after they had left in what Dr. Thornberry said was the cloak of darkness. But do you remember, if you were in chapel last week, do you remember Dr. Thornberry speaking of Kierkegaard? And Kierkegaard said that damage can be done to children by their parents. And Kierkegaard believed that the damage that is most damaging to children is not when children see their parents being hypocritical, but Kierkegaard believed that the greatest damage that parents do to their children is when those children see a lack of joy in their parents. Dr. Thornberry said, that's dangerous. It's dangerous when children see us, they see parents going through the motions, reading the scriptures, singing the songs, attending to religious activities, but not having a joy in it. We're free, yes. We can believe that with our minds. We hear that from the scriptures. We intellectually agree to that. But is there a freedom in the joy that we have in Christ? There's a verse of scripture that I believe the Lord has impressed on my heart for the last several weeks, and it's one that I find myself not being able to get away from. Psalm chapter 33. If you have your Bibles, look at Psalm chapter 33 and verse 21. The psalmist speaks of the relationship that exists between joy and faith. And I think it's instructive to us as we think about freedom this morning. Notice what the psalmist says in verse 21. Psalm chapter 33, verse 21. The psalmist says, "For our heart is glad in him." Why? "Because we trust in his holy name." Why are our hearts glad as people of God? Why is it that we have joy? There is a because to our joy. And the because to our joy is not anything in ourselves. The because to our joy is the fact that we trust in the name of the Lord. We are people of faith. And joy and faith, there is this relationship. According to what the psalmist says in verse 21, where he says, "For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name," there is this relationship between trust or faith and gladness or joy. The more we trust in the Lord, the more what is there going to be in our hearts? There's going to be more joy. The less we trust in God, the less joy there is. Joy and trust, gladness and faith, they are directly proportional. So why is it that so often among us there is a lack of joy in our faith? Why is it that we can say with our mouths that we are free, but our lives do not manifest a joy for other people to see? I want to suggest to you this morning that it may very well be that joy is not manifested in our life because we do not appreciate the prepositions of freedom. Not the propositions of freedom, but the prepositions of freedom. What I want us to do this morning is look through the book of Galatians. And I want us to think about this framework that Paul gives us when it comes to the freedom that we have in Christ. The prepositions are the small words, are they not? The three prepositions that I want us to think about as we think about joyful freedom this morning is from, by, and for. Paul teaches in Galatians that we are free from something as believers. We're free from something, the past. We're free from it. Paul also teaches that we are free by something. Now, that something is not a something. That something is a someone. We are free by Christ. So we're free from something, we're free by someone, and we're free for something. Understanding those aspects of freedom is essential, I believe, to having a freedom that is truly joyful. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians because he wanted them to have some assistance in understanding that Christianity is about trusting Christ. Period. That Christianity is about faith, period. Not faith plus something, but faith, period. He wrote to them to say that you must trust Christ, that being right with God, being in relationship with God, or being justified with God is not about anything that we do for God. It's about what He has done for us. And the life that we live in response to what God has done is done out of what God has done for us. You see, Paul initially preached the gospel to the Galatians. Initially, he had come to them and he preached that salvation is by grace, it's through faith, it's in Christ alone, period. It is free. The freedom that you have is because Christ has given you that freedom. And the responsibility that you have is to live in light of what God has done for you, not working for God. He called them to believe in the work that God had done for them. He preached that God sent Jesus into this world, that Jesus lived a sinless life. He died on a cross, and that when Christ died, He took the sin of the world, your sin and my sin. And when we trust in Christ, period. When we trust in Christ, guess what? The righteousness of Christ is ours. He who knew no sin became sin for us, in that Him we might become the righteousness of God. It's the wondrous exchange. But after Paul left, there were some teachers that snuck into the church at Galatia. They're called Judaizers. This is the place in the message where you begin hearing minor chords, as the Judaizers sneak into the church and they begin teaching that if you really want to be a Christian, if you really want freedom, if you really want to be a person of faith, then yes, you need to do what the Apostle Paul taught you. You need to believe in Christ, but you also... And they were encouraging the men of the church at Galatia to be circumcised. And Paul wrote to the Galatians because he had heard about this teaching in the church. He wrote to the Galatians to say that Christianity is not about faith plus anything. It is about faith, period, in Christ. When we add anything to the work of Christ, we are stepping back into the slavery from which we came. Paul realized that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ. That's what he preached. And the freedom that is ours in Christ is a freedom that is from the works of the law, Paul would say. We do not have to earn our relationship with God. We don't have to work for our relationship with God. We don't have to try to achieve our relationship with God. We just receive it. And the freedom that we have is a freedom that is from the works of the law. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 6. Verse 16. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul in this verse is going to repeat something three times. And he's going to repeat it three times so that people like me can get it. He says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, yet we know, here comes the first one, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. There's one, comma. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus. Here comes the second one. In order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. We're free from works of the law. Here comes the third time. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. We can't work our way to God. There's nothing that we can do to earn God's grace. And praise the Lord, He has freed us from that mindset of thinking that we have to work in order to achieve anything from God. I don't know how it is in your life, but in my life, so often when I focus on what I can do for God, things don't go so well. When I think about my gifts, my abilities, my whatever for God, things don't go that well. But when I focus not on what I can do for God, but when I focus on what God has done for me, guess what? Things go as they should. Things go as God would have them go. It's not about the works of the law. It's about the work that God has done. You remember a couple of weeks ago when Dr. Robert Smith from Beeson Seminary was here? He made a statement, just a quick little statement in his sermon. And he said, for every New Testament theology, there is an Old Testament what? Were you there? Were you awake? He said, for every New Testament theology, there is an Old Testament picture. Good stuff. And Paul uses a picture from the Old Testament to illustrate this truth that he is pressing home to the Galatians, that we are free from works of the law. And the story, the picture, the Old Testament picture that he uses is the Old Testament story of Abram and Sarah and Hagar. Do you remember that story? Abram and Sarah. In Genesis chapter 12, God spoke to Abram. He was 75 years old. And God spoke to him and said, Abram, I'm getting ready to do a new work through you. I'm beginning to begin a work through you. I know you're 75, but I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Father Abraham. That's why we sing that, okay? I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Well, time went on. In fact, over two decades passed by. And Abram did not see the results of the promise. He didn't see the promise manifesting itself. He and Sarah were not getting any younger. So over over 20 years later, Sarah, his wife, said, Abe, we need to do something because we're going to have egg on our face if we don't have a child. So I've got this servant who helps me out some. Her name is Hagar. I encourage you not to name your children Hagar. But I've got this servant named Hagar. Abraham, why don't you go and just spend a little time with her? You know what I'm saying? And maybe, Abraham, Hagar can have a child for us. And I tell you what we'll just do. We'll just call that child the child of the promise. That child will just count. We'll just organize things that way. So that's what they do. Sarah encourages Abram with Hagar to take matters into their own hands. And then you know the rest of the story. Things don't fare so well, but God ends up coming through on his promise as he always does. Abram and Hagar are pictures of works, but Abram and Sarah are pictures of faith. Faith is not taking matters into our own hands like Abraham and Hagar. Faith, as Abraham and Sarah realized, is trusting God to work even though the circumstances of life seem to be stacked against you. We're free from works. We don't have to do the works of God. God has already done the work for us. We are free from the works of the law. We are free by the work of Christ. Luther would talk about us having an alien righteousness. Now, that does not mean that aliens came from outer space and they brought us Christianity, righteousness. But what he is saying, and what other theologians are saying by this, is that when we talk about alien righteousness, we are talking about a righteousness that is not from within ourselves. We're talking about a righteousness that has come from without, and it has come to us. We're saved not by coming to the truth that is within us. We are saved by believing in the truth of what God has done in Christ. We are saved from works, but we are saved by Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 again, he says it. We're saved through faith in Christ. We believed in Christ Jesus. Our faith is a faith that is rooted. Our faith is a faith that is focused. Our faith is not in faith. Our faith is in Christ. And for some reason, we often struggle with grace. Sometimes we struggle with the fact that we don't have to earn it. We don't have to achieve it. We believe in what God has done for us. We understand the reality of Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, but it's hard to live as though sometimes we believe it's true, that he saved us. He saved us not on the basis of deeds, works of the law. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration, renewing by the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when Jesus in John chapter 6 was talking with the religious leaders? And they came up to him and they said, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" This is John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29. What must we do in order to do the works of God? They were thinking free from the works of God. They were thinking, what must we do to do the works of God? And Jesus said, you don't do the works of God. Jesus said, your responsibility is not to do the works of God. This is the work of God, that you believe in his name. Realizing that our freedom is a freedom that has come to us from Christ, that Christ, we are free by Christ. Our life is lived not from our works, but from his works. And Galatians teaches us that there is this three-dimensional aspect to our freedom. We're free from the works of the law. We're free by the work of Christ. And we're also free for the work of the Spirit. We're free from works, but we're free for work. And it's not our work, it's the work of the Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 5. He would say in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit," Paul says, "and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, free for the work of the Spirit. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, and it's joy, and it's peace, and it's patience, and it's kindness, and it's goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We're free from the works of the law. Praise the Lord. We're free by the work of Christ. We didn't do it. And God has so worked in our lives that we are free for the work of Spirit. We are not slaves to the flesh. We do not have to live according to the flesh. But we are free for the work of the Spirit. We are free for the Spirit of God to work love in our lives. And joy and peace and patience and all of those things that Paul lists there. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We'll conclude on this. Perhaps the most familiar verse in the book of Galatians is a verse that many of you have memorized. Listen to the three-dimensional aspect of Paul's life here. He said, "I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." You are free. You are free in Christ. You are free not because of anything you've done. You are free because of what God has done for you. And now, because we have been freed from the works of the law and because we have been freed by the work of Christ, we are free to walk in the Spirit. We are free for God to do a work in and through us, and we live lives of freedom following the Spirit of God. It's not about what I do. It's about what he does through me.